so you can all gaze on them. Now, after you've been a Christian for a few years, you don't get nervous at all. But I was thinking, you know, I have a specific word which I've given as a legacy which God gave to me, which I've passed on to these guys. But Jesus said when he appointed his disciples, just go in my name. I'm not giving you silver or gold, just go in my name. And that seems a bit of a silly thing to say. You'd want something, wouldn't you? List of instructions or how do you go about mission outreach or whatever it is. He just said, go in my name. For when we go in the name of Jesus, we go in everything that he stands for. And what does he stand for more than absolutely anything else? Well, he stands for eternal life. This is eternal life, that you might know him. And how do we find this? Well, we find it through God's holy word. And I'm only standing here for those three things, but two of them. First of all, the power of the name of Jesus absolutely, irrevocably, permanently changed my life. And the second thing, and this is what we want to give as a legacy now as well, the word of God. The word of God, which again I knew up here, but suddenly became alive. I'm saddened when I hear sort of so many talks these days in Christian circles, and so often they're inspiring and motivational. But really, they've just got to be so full of the word of God. Because without the power of the word of God, then we're just an organization. But with the power of God's word, we get life and glory and honor and truth. And so, I'd like to give to all of you a little gift of the word of God. Would you like to come, Gwen? And aren't we glad, you know, they're out there with their wives, and I thank God for my great wife. So that's for Jill. I knew that you'd appreciate a copy of the Greek New Testament. And then for Liz. And we had to give the guys the Hebrew version. That's Rob's. Now, if you don't like that particular version, you can give it back to me because I want one. Don't sit down, Gwen. We're not going to pray for them. Now, we're blessed in this fellowship, as I've emphasized, generation to generation. And we've still got some of the elders here from long ago. Gordon, can you come out? Is Marion not with you? She's gone on holiday. She's gone on the cruise. It's gone on a long time, that one. And unfortunately, Bill's not very well today. Dorothy, where's Dorothy? Come on, Dot. And Alan. Marion. They're putting another hat on now. And can we have the present elders and wives who are here, please, if they're not on holiday. Okay, do you want to move along a little bit? Right. Now, I must say, I've been so blessed over the years, always had great leadership teams at Kingsway. Faithful people, loyal people, dedicated, godly people. And this church, you know, you're so blessed to have elders like these people. And we're going to ask now, as John has read before, from generation to generation, just to pray a blessing upon our new pastors, wives, and leaders. Okay, so let's just pray.
Yes, Father, we just thank you for this day. And we thank you for these two couples, Lord, for Rob and Jill, and for Tino and Liz. And Father, we just know that your hand is upon them, Lord. You've called them to this place, Lord. And Father, we pray for them today as they go forward into the future. Lord, hand in hand with you. Father, that you will be their strength, that you will supply every need, that you will protect them, Lord, and you will protect their families, Lord. You will give them every good thing, and you will, Lord, endue them with wisdom from above, Lord, just to know what to do, Lord, what to say, Lord, just to speak your words of life, Lord, and do the things you would have them to do. And Father, I just thank you that, Lord, you have been with Dave and I, Lord, all these years. Yes. And our testimony is, Lord, that, Lord, there have been difficult times, but you've brought us through. And the blessings have been more, Lord, than the hard things. And Father, we know that it's going to be the same for these two couples, Lord. So we just send them, Lord, in Jesus' name, right into the center of your purposes for them and for this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Just before a prayer I was reading this morning in Isaiah, if I can synchronize a microphone, a Bible, and a pair of glasses. I'm a man, I don't multitask. Or I'm a man, I multitask, I just don't complain about it. Oops. If you're taking a photograph, do you want to get my best side? All right, Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 14. And it shall be said, build up, prepare the way. Remove every obstruction from my people's way. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. And you know, we pray for revival, don't we? But revival starts in the heart. And the revival in this church starts in the heart for those who are contrite, those who are lowly. And I know that's your heart as well, guys. So I want to pray over that into your ministry, into this place, and also into the wider community, because we all agree, don't we? It ain't just what happens in these four walls that makes a difference. We want Jesus' sovereign reign to be evidenced in our wider community. We want to be a people of impact, don't we? Talk is cheap. You know, the book of Acts is what follows the gospel, not the book of talk, not the book of good intentions. It's the book of Acts. So I just want to pray that over your lives. Father, I thank you and I bless you for today. Thank you, Jesus, for this launch day. Father, this is a new day. Your word tells us to remember not the former things, neither the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it, Father? We pray that in this church there will be a perception today that you are about to do a new thing. Father, we thank you for that which is past, but Jesus, we covet that which you have yet in store for us. Father, we thank you for our history, but more than anything, we thank you for our destiny. Father, at this moment in time, may this be a destiny moment. Father, I pray for Rob and for Tina in particular, for Jill, Lord God, and for Liz also, that you'd raise them up to be the people that you've called them to be. Lord, full stature, Lord, not part measure, but full stature. Thank you, God, for your spirit upon them, Lord, because we testify as a church that it isn't by might nor by power. It's not by their qualifications. It's not by their degrees. It's not by anything else, Father, but it's a work of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that in this place, Lord, and across this earth, Lord, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And we pray that, Lord, whatever is built from here on in, we'd have Jesus Christ center stage. Holy Spirit, come and anoint these men and these women afresh. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on them and upon us as your people. Father, may we give them our full support. Father, may you put it in the heart of the people in this place today to give their full support to the lives and the ministries of these two couples, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
When I was praying this week, I got Ephesians 4, where the Lord says, and he gave some as apostles, as teachers, as evangelists, as prophets, and as pastors. And, excuse me, the Lord says, you don't have to be everything, every one of those, especially in the beginning, In fact, God's going to raise up others, key people. As to be alongside you, in time. I don't think it's any. I think it's significant that you both got pastor in your title, and for me, that's what the Lord wants to say this morning. Don't worry about the other gifts and things; they'll come. The most important thing is to be a pastor, to look after the sheep, to tend the flock. I remember some years ago, I can't remember who it was. It was quite a few years ago. We had a speaker who came with a word for the fellowship. It was a bit strange. It was basically saying, we need a pastor. I think actually Sue Thomas boldly stood up and declared, we have a pastor. And Dave is an apostle and a prophet and a teacher. But above all, he's been a pastor, hasn't he? He's been a pastor to us. And is a pastor. It's in his nature, it's in his heart, it's in his gift, and it's in his calling, And I believe that's what God is saying to you as well, people, the flock, sheep, relationships, that's what's important. I know you know that, but I believe the Lord wants to say that. So let me just pray that. Father, thank you, Lord, that it's a matter of the heart, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you change the heart. Father, that you give us, Lord, your heart. And Lord, that's what I pray, Father, for Rob, Tino, Jill and Liz, Lord God. Lord, this morning, Lord, that you would touch them afresh. Father, that you give them, Lord, your heart, Lord, your compassion, Lord, your discernment, Lord, your love, Lord God. Father, your grace, Lord, your mercy, Lord. So, Lord, just do it now in the Holy Spirit, Father. Release, Lord, what's required. Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rob and Tino, as I was seeking God for you both this week, he gave me one word, which was establish. And it says in the Bible that now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God. And I just felt for you, Rob, that he was saying that in Psalm 119, verse 30, it says this, establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for thee. And for you, Tino, from Colossians, having been firmly rooted and now become built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing in gratitude. And Father, we thank you for Rob and for Tino and for their families this morning. We bless you for them, Lord, for their ministry, Lord, and for the work that they carry out in the kingdom of God. Lord, and we want to honor them this morning as well. Lord, we want to say thank you to you for bringing these two men and their families, Lord, into this church, Lord, and into our midst. And we bless you for them. And Lord, we ask, oh God, that their faith and their knowledge of the word would be built up in you as you establish your plan, as you establish your purpose. In Jesus' name.
I know that others will definitely have prayers and words for them, but we'll have to move on. So if you have a word, can you please give it to them a bit later on? Would you like to sit down? Elders, past elders, and if we have the worship team out, thanks God. I just thank God as well for this man, first elder, all these years, and thank God. And we thank God that he's brought him through some very testing times, but he's still here, Amen. Faithful.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, God bless you. When this fellowship opened, when we purchased it, that was all that we had. We had no more money. But I remember on this particular day, it was when we'd invited the fellowship to come and just see it for the first time, because it had been, it was just a bomb site, really, wasn't it, those who remember. And we were down in what is now the lounge. That's where we met. But I had to come down with the keys for some reason. Was the one who had the keys. And just before we came down, our daughter was knocked over and was in unconscious. And it was obviously quite a trauma. It was quite a test because I knew all the people were waiting, and you know, my wife had gone in the ambulance and so on. But I thank God. She's fine. She's in Cyprus, and God raised her up. But there was a song, and it's become really the sort of anthem of our church here. Lord, delight in us and bring us into this land, and give us this land which flows with milk and honey. Lord, delight in us. And it's like a little bit of a wave. It keeps coming back into our sort of repertoire every so often. And, we couldn't have this meeting today without singing this song. And it is about coming into the promised land, into the blessing. So you can stay sitting down, but maybe the rest would like to stand, stretch your legs. And let these words not just be in your head. Very simple tune, but very, very blessed.
Love.
please. In Psalm 37, it says this, I am old, but I have been young, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. And again, that's just, it's our own personal testimony. And it's also the testimony of this church. And I thank God, I do thank God for the faithful prayer warriors. I thank for those who just give so much of time and energy, everything behind the scenes. And as we said at the start, from generation to generation. If we put our trust in Jesus, we'll not be disappointed. We're not immune from the storms of life, but he brings us through. God is still on the throne, and we bless his holy name. Now we're going to have another leadership group now come, and John's going to introduce the leadership team.
Thank you, Dave. Well, we wanted to make this all-inclusive for every generation, so some of the leadership team and some of the Sunday school teachers and youth leaders, would you like to come? And some of the kids come, and we're just going to pray for Rob and Tino and for their wives, and then we're going to bring some representative prayers from those groups. And I understand it wasn't here right at the start, but people have been colouring, people have been writing their prayers down for Rob and Tino, as well as colouring prayers. So come on, don't let me be on my own at the front. Come on, here. Yeah. This is a good time. This is a happy time. It's a great time. Great time for James. His 50th birthday today. Yeah. Good. So we have two microphones. Put one down that end. Dave, do you want to write? Okay. We're just going to... Again, there's going to be lots of words that for Rob and for Tino, so... If we can't fit them in now, do please make sure you give them to them right at the end. It'll be that which sustains them when the time gets hard. And the time will get hard for them, but we know that they'll battle through. So, who's going to start? You going to start? Say a prayer.
Lord, we thank you for our new pastors, Rob and Tino, and their families. Thank you for the friendships and the fun we have had together. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bless them and keep them safe. I ask you to make your face shine to them. Lord, please guide them as they lead this church and help them to make our community a place where more people know and follow you. Amen.
Where are your children? Come on, you need to come out. Come out, Bethany, come on. Come on. This is an important day for Mum and Dad. Please come and join them. Yeah, honestly. Good. Ellie and Joe, where are you? Yeah. That's it. They need your support, you know. Right. Somebody further down the line? Got a prayer? Yeah.
Dear God, thank you for Tino and Rob. Please bless them and help them to do well. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord, we thank you for Tina and Rob and just the next step that you've got for their lives. And we just pray that it's going to be a really fruitful step for this church and for their families. And I just pray blessings on their families and on the kids. I just pray that real joy will come out of this next step in their lives and real joy will come out of the kids' work and the youth work and just every work in this church, the women's ministry, the men's ministry, will just flourish under this next step and just... It'll just bless everyone in the church and that everyone will feel a part of a community through this next step. And we should pray blessings on their lives and that they'll know that even if it does get tough, that you're still with them and you're with them through the good and the bad and that you just love them and you've got the best for them. And when they don't know what to do, you know what the next step is and you've got it all planned and you've got it all planned from day one, even before any of us were here. You've got it all planned, Father, and I thank you that none of this is a surprise to you and nothing that happens is going to be a surprise, Father, that you've got it all. I just pray that they'll know that. No matter what happens, they'll know that you've got it, Father. Amen.
Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for these two families, Lord. And Father, I pray that we might just support them. Lord, that we might, as a fellowship, just, Lord, be able to support them in their new roles, Lord. I pray that we might just have a love and acceptance of them, Lord. Lord, that we might just be able to pray for them and continually pray for them, Lord. Lord, for Tina and for Rob, Lord, I just pray that you just sow new things into their lives. Lord, you just, you'll just let them flow with heavenly water, Lord, which can be poured out to cleanse people, Lord, in this church. Lord, and I pray that this community might just benefit, Lord, by their love for the community and their heart for the children, Lord, and their heart for the people in this church. I pray you just keep them safe from attack, from the smiting enemy and the devil, Lord. And Father, I just pray that we as a church might just keep them, Lord, and keep them under your protection by praying for them and for their families, Lord. Lord, I pray for their children, that they might just grow more in knowledge of you, Lord. And indeed, Lord, I just pray that you just be a comforter, and that in their busyness, Lord, they would still be able to just really seek you in their quiet times, Lord. Lord, that they might just know that you've just guided them into these positions. Father, help us as a church to honour them, Lord, and support them. We know that they're going to bring new ideas and new things through into this church, Lord. And we pray that we can, Lord, we'll be patient with those things. Lord, it might mean us changing. It might mean us having to do things that we may be maybe not comfortable with, Lord. But, Father, we want to get behind them, Lord. And we want to just say, Lord, we know that they've been chosen. They've been chosen by our leadership, and they've been chosen by you, Lord, to take this church and this community forward so that we might know, Lord, we might know and honour you, Lord, more through them. So, Father, just fill them with your words and your wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we'll have one more prayer from somebody who's younger than 50.
Father, we just thank you for Rob and Tino, Lord. And we thank you for the pastoral roles that you've called them to, Lord. We pray for them in the leadership that you have brought them into, Lord, and the role will develop and open their eyes even to what they've been called to, Father. But we just pray for them, Lord, as they're called to leadership, Father, we as the congregation are called to obey them as our leaders, Father. So we just pray, put on our hearts to be obedient, Lord, to our leaders, to our pastors, Lord, to what they are calling us to do, whether it's foreign to us or not, Lord. In these times of change, we can trust in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that it's in his name and through his blood we stand and we can bow before the King of Kings, and we are known, Lord, as your people. And Father, we thank you that you have put Tino and Rob as your people leadership now, Lord, and that you will guide them and you will lead them and you will bless them, Lord, in this role. Amen.
We have got some flowers for the ladies, but we'll do that. Oh, they're here. Right. Oh, right, we're going to do it now. Yeah, all right. You snuck up behind me. I'll give them a big clap. Okay. And an extra one for me. Oh, thank you. No, actually, it's not for me. Gwyn, this is for you. Bless you. Now, it's great that we've got some churches across the whole of Merseyside come to celebrate and support us this morning. So, Mike, John, and Dave, would you come and join us now? They're going to pray for us as a church. Mike, come on. You guys are never normally this shy when you front your own churches. Come on. John's bringing his staff.
Praise God. What a wonderful day. A significant day in the life of Kingsway Fellowship. It's brilliant to be here. And I was thinking about the heritage that you're inheriting, really, as you take the church forward, Rob and Tino. 40 years, I was privileged to be part of the 40-year celebration and 30 years in this place. What a wonderful platform on which to build. And as I was leaving the car this morning, obviously I've been considering in the car coming down to you, I heard the words of the Lord say to me, be strong and of good courage, which is what was read before. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And why would he say that to you? Don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. Because sometimes things get difficult, things get tough. It's not an easy ride being the pastor. You've got a lot to do, but the word of the Lord is, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There's lots of parallels between Kingsway and Billinge Family Church. And over many years, we've seen those parallels. And my connection with Kingsway has risen, and I'm going to say this now publicly, because of one man. And that man is David Elms. And I think you've got a challenge, both of you, because you've got big boots to fill. David is my dear friend. He's an outstanding man of God. He's a man of the word. Sometimes it's frustrating. Yeah, sometimes. But I love him to bits. He's led this church over 40 years. From being a very young man to the position he's in now. Also, when it's so parallel. 6 months ago, as you may know, it was precipitated, but I passed the baton on to my son. And the word of the Lord on that day was from Psalm 145, one generation shall commend your works to another. And that's your responsibility. Your responsibility is to take the church forward from one generation to the next and to cast vision, to lead. The Lord would have you lead the church. Is that okay for me to say that? You're called as pastors, but you're called to lead, to actually take the church forward. But what a position to take it forward from this wonderful place where you find yourself now, forward to the next generation. And I'm sure you will have, the Lord will have imparted vision to you. Well, you need to follow that and chase it. And I'm going to let these guys speak in a minute. I've got so much I want to say, but I'm going to let these guys speak. One thing that's comforted me over years, and it's a truth for every single person sat here. I mean, David made the declaration, the word of God and Jesus at the beginning. The place, the chair which you now occupy, you only occupy temporarily. Okay. Now, that's not an excuse to say, well, okay, it doesn't matter what I do. It is actually an imperative to drive you forward to do the best you can and get it done. So may God bless you. Okay.
Thank you, Mike. I want you all to pray after this.
This is John. Give him a warm welcome.
Good morning. It's great to be here. It's also, I must say, really an honor to be even just observing today, because we've so appreciated the ministry and life of Kingsway Christian Fellowship and the love and support and encouragement of many of you here over the years, and of course, in particular, young David Elms. I just want to say a couple of things. I'll be equally as long as Mike, but I'll make it sound like I'm going to be quick. I've done some leadership training over the years for leaders, and one of the things we've looked at is transition. And an image that is really helpful for all of us is some of you will remember being on a swing as a child. And you did that daring thing, or some of you may only have thought of doing that daring thing, of swinging as high as you could go and then letting off and flying through the air. And you'll know that sensation, some of you thinking a long way back, And if you're over 50 from today, you just never want to do that because it sounds so dangerous. But think of that sensation of, you know, in a second I'm going to let go. One more swing, maybe the next one. Right, now, definitely, right, definitely I'm going for it. But there's that moment where you have to let go and fly through the air. And I believe that's something of what was in my spirit this morning, that as Kingsway Christian Fellowship, you've all, in some sense, said, right, okay, this is it. We've talked about it. We've swung back and forth, but now we're going to let go and fly through the air to this new thing. And in that moment of letting go, if you can remember being 6 or 10 or 12 when you did that, the instant you let go, that sensation, I should have waited one more time, but you've done it. When I prayed about, Lord, what is it you specifically want to say? And I was so blessed that Dave, I didn't know that song was an anthem here for you, but this is the scripture that I felt to just read over Rob and Tino and everyone gathered from Deuteronomy chapter 1. You've stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. And I want to urge you to reach for taking the land. You have not been called to maintain the good work of Dave and Gwen and others, but to press forward. And some of you will know this shepherd's rod. I only say that because some are in the room thinking, what on earth? But this is a symbolic shepherd's rod with the 23rd Psalm written on it. So I just, are we going to pray all at the end? Okay, then I'll hold back.
It is a wonderful privilege to be here. Bring your greetings from Frontline Church. Pastor Dave, Gwen, you guys have done an amazing job. And Kingsway is known lots of places, right across our city. Lots of the newer churches were inspired by the work of this church. And we want to honour you and the family, because there is a cost that lots of people, when we lead, lots of folks don't know the cost that we pay when we're in leadership. So I just want to honour the Elms family. Thank you that you're willing to pay that cost. We've heard a lot. John read my reading. Thank you. And, and we talk a lot about Joshua, but he had a good friend called Caleb. And we ourselves, our frontline, are in the midst of transition. And it's a funny old thing, isn't it? All these different emotions and feelings and questions, etc. But our Joshua had this great friend called Caleb. And when he was good and old, he was still up for a fight. God still had assignments for him. And I just want to say, I really feel, Dave, Gwen, that God has great assignments for you. Great assignments, great fruitfulness. Rob, Jill, Tino, Liz, this is a great start. It is great. And if you take the scripture that John read, I just feel that God would say, it isn't about maintenance. Don't play safe. Be a lover of him. Fear him above all. You know, but as you love him, create such a loving wholeheartedness about, you know, Joshua. He was wholehearted. He'd seen, when he went out as a young guy with all the other spies, he saw and he heard all the same things the other guys saw. But he held to what God said. And I would say to you, there will be huge challenges and huge blessings. Wholeheartedly to what God says. Grab a hold of each other when you have to press through. But amongst all, wholeheartedly love him. And one of my thoughts was this, that, you know, when it's time for you to hand on the baton, my prayer that would be to somebody who's not here now, maybe to somebody who's not even saved yet, because there's a mighty harvest for you. And the church, my real heart is that God will fill you with such a passion and such a love, yes, for his people, but for the lost, that Kingsway will just be mighty in the harvest field. And bless you guys. This is enjoy the ride. Hold on for all your might. You will, if you're not terrified, you're not doing it rightly. If you think you're doing okay, you're probably not. Yeah.
Right. Do you want to pray one by one?
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love. Thank you, Lord, that over the years you've sustained and built this place. Lord, thank you for the people who've been involved in the past, Lord, for the eldership that started, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity right now. I thank you for Rob and Tino and for their families. And I pray right now for them, Lord, that they would lead the church aright. I pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to move in this place. I pray for a fresh outpouring, Lord, as we move into a new season. May there be a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of the living God on this place. And Lord, yes, we pray for a harvest in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'd like, would you each just hold on to this with me in a symbolic fashion? Father, we thank you for the journey this far. We commend the journey ahead, and we pray that this symbol of your authority, of your power, of your deliverance, of your leadership, of your comfort, your protection, will be upon Rob, Tino, and their families. Lord, take this fellowship forward. We thank you for this momentous moment, this Kairos moment. We bless you, and we just strike the ground together if we can. Lord, release a flood of the water of the word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, Father, I want to thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these men and women here. And I ask, Lord, that you would join their hearts. Lord, open their eyes like never before. Open their ears, soften their heart. And Lord, come afresh and put a fresh anointing on them. Fresh Holy Ghost anointing that will affect everything they see, hear, and do, and say. Lord, we ask that you would release a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit upon them to lead. Lead them the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Give them a clap. Thank you.
Okay, if you guys would like to go back to your places, except for Rob. And Rob's going to come and share, and then Tino, just a little bit of the way ahead, the vision he's going to take this church in.
Church. Good morning, church. Oh, what an incredible day this is. That feeling of terror is so real, isn't it? Thank you. And you know, that is so true, isn't it? You know, we're part of a body. You know, it's great to be not individuals, but members, individual members of a body joined together. And as a church, you know, we're going to go forward as a body, aren't we? With every member fulfilling its part and its place in this church. I was sent a text, I'm sorry to mention this, from a very, very good friend of mine who's here this morning. And it's one of those little texts that has a little smiley alien at the bottom of it. And he said, they've been thinking about the hymns that might be appropriate for this morning. And the one that was suggested was Led Like a Lamb to the Slaughter. And thankfully, I've already been led like a lamb to the slaughter. You know, the word says, isn't it, that I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in the flesh is by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm so grateful for this Bible. Isn't that a great title? Life Application Study Bible. That should be on the front of every single Bible, shouldn't it? Life Application. You know, that's what it's about, isn't it? The word of God is for life. You know, it's living and it's active. When he speaks to us, it does something in us that stirs us up and changes and transforms us. And you know, that's the wonderful thing about here is that people here have stepped out in faith. This work at Kingsway was a step of faith, not knowing what was ahead, the enormity of the task ahead, and yet people stepped out knowing that God was in it. And as I said before, we're not here just to maintain something. But you know, God has formed us together as living stones, hasn't he? He's building his church with people who've come awake to the heavenly realities here. That God has woken us up, that he has a call and plan for each of our lives. And we're taking steps of faith now. This is a step of faith. I really relate to that swing, you know, when you let go and you think, oh, you know. It truly is a walk of faith. And I really believe in the power of God every step of the way. You know, I wanted to, as I was thinking about this morning, I really was strongly given Romans 12. And I want to read some of Romans 12 to us in a second. Many of you will remember me as a teenager when I came to the church. And myself and James came into as teenagers. And at my baptism, there was a number of prophetic words given over my life. One of them was about being a warrior. And at the time, I was nothing but a worrier. And it's true, I worried about everything. But God is faithful. And I believe he has given me a warrior spirit in him. You know, he's changed me and transformed my life into something that could not have been without him. And as we heard last week, that God takes the natural things, the normal things, and makes them supernormal, doesn't he? He changes us and transforms us. He takes that which is of nature, as it were, and he turns it, as we give it and hand it over to him, into something that is supernatural and supernormal. And I believe the same for everyone in this place, that if we give him our lives, he will make those lives supernormal. He will do something with us that is just incredible and a real blessing to others. And another of the prophetic words that was given was about a willingness to go into deep water. And that was so true. And little did I know how deep that water would get. And perhaps little do I know how deep it will get yet. But you know what? It is great to know that we have a sustaining God. The everlasting arms underneath and all around, aren't they? We can put our trust and our hope in God. He is a faithful God. He's a great God. He knows us. He knows the plans he has for every one of our lives here and the callings he has for us. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I love this phrase, I urge you. There's a real sense of desperation here. I urge you to offer yourselves as living sacrifices. And it's with mercy in mind, isn't it? You know, it's great that God has paid up front. In view of God's mercy, in view of the price he has paid, in view of all that he's done for us, that Christ should die for us, that he should give everything, that we should have life, an everlasting hope, a great future. In view of the mercy of God on our lives, offer yourselves to him, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. Do you know, we all worship something. Whether you know Jesus or not, we all worship something. We have deep longings that only God can truly satisfy. In the Psalms it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I love that little phrase, oh God. So my soul pants for you, oh God. And that is often used as a curse, isn't it, in society. People use that name in a blasphemous way. But when it comes from a heart that's full, that needs God, oh God, we need you. We need your presence. We need your power. We need you. Our lives are nothing, empty, without the living God and without the living waters. Psalm 27, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What are we worshipping? What are we investing our lives in? What are we sacrificing for? What are we giving ourselves for? There's a chasing after the wind, things that just will not satisfy. But God will truly, truly satisfy. He knows the plans and purposes he has for our lives. If only we'd give our lives and our wills to him. Many of you know that that prayer is just something that is a passion with me. And I read something recently that said that our future is tied up in the prayer closet. Prayer removes the blindfold. It unstops ears. It takes away the gag from our mouths. It loosens chains. Prayer is the key that releases the will of God on earth, just as his perfect will is done in heaven. Prayer changes the spiritual climate, creates rich and fertile seedbeds for abundant harvest. But effective prayer takes a whole life. What we are outside of the prayer closet is what brings victory in it. If we want breakthrough and victory, then we need to be lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. You know, in James it says, you have not because you ask not. And you ask and not receive because you ask amiss. You know, we need holy lives. We need lives that are devoted to God. And as that scripture we're reading before, you know, that I beseech you that you present yourselves as living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable to him. Faith, even the tiniest amount of it, we know, is so potent that it can move mountains. And I believe it can move the physical mountains, but mountains of trouble in people's lives as well, to bring about the very purpose of God. And Ian Bounds, he says this, he says, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost doesn't flow through methods, but through men. He doesn't come on machinery, but men. He doesn't anoint plans, but men, men of prayer. It's not great talents, nor great learning, nor great preachers that God needs, but men of great holiness, great faith, great love, great fidelity, great for God. Men always preaching holy sermons in the pulpit by holy lives out of it. These can mold a generation for God. And we are, as was said before, we're called to be a house of prayer. Prayer for individuals, prayer for families, prayer for our community, prayer for our region, prayer even for our nation and the nations. Prayer is such a key for us going forward, church, that if we are people of prayer, people who give ourselves to God in prayer, drawn to him. You know, I don't know what it is that changed in me, that made me realize just how vital prayer was, but something one day, sometime, I just realized, what am I without him? What am I outside of prayer? I need him. We need him. We so need God. And how are we going to find him? How are we going to get a hold of him outside of prayer? That's our lives, isn't it? The reality of our prayer life says something about us as people and our faith. In Romans 12, conformity to the world, you know, it strangles the life of God, doesn't it? Our natural drift is away from God. And we need the body. We need each other. We live in difficult times, times of uncertainty about work, financial stresses, breakdown of family life, moral decline, loneliness, isolation. And isolation, you know, at a time where there just seems to be so many ways for people to connect. You must be the most connected people ever. And yet this great loneliness, isn't there? People are starving from lack of love and affection in a consumer-focused society. God's made us people of deep longings that will only be satisfied in him. Yet the search goes on in many, many lives and many, many people, this chasing after the wind, grasping after things it can't satisfy. But I've found a new way of living. I've found a love that's divine. I've got the joy of the Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit. You know, and I'm abiding in the vine. Isn't that a lovely chorus? You know, that's the life of the church, isn't it? Joined together. We need to be those who open our lives up and share the love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We know the love of God, folks. A deep, deep love of God. And you know, we have something so precious and something that the world just so needs. You know, one of the worst and most destructive emotional feelings that anyone can feel is that experience of feeling unloved, of feeling that they are unloved. A sense that you've no point in being here on earth. And there's many people in our community who have suffered rejection, hurt and loss. Yet we can open our hearts, we can open our lives, our homes, to demonstrate the love of God that we ourselves have received. It's a challenge, isn't it, for us? But now when we open up our lives and our homes, what a blessing that we can be sharing that love of Christ with others. I was speaking to Gareb earlier in the week, and such a blessing to speak with him. And as we were talking, he talked about how one of the greatest challenges of a Muslim coming out and becoming a Christian is that they forsake everything. Their family, their community, they're shunned often, and relationships are broken. And what people need and what they need is a loving community to come into. People who will come alongside and love them and be there for them. And you know, that's the same for so many of us, isn't it? That when we come to Christ, it often breaks family ties. It often causes division. It often causes so much. Well, we have here an opportunity to offer an incredible love and acceptance. And that is a challenge for us, but you know, we will find a way. You know, God has a way for this church. And if we cry out to him and seek him, he will join us together. We've talked about unity, haven't we, as a church? But you know what? There is great hope for our community as we love each other. That blessing pours down on others, doesn't it? You know, as we love each other and demonstrate the love of God, others will see that we're Christians by that love. Imagine the difference we could make if, in the life of this fellowship and our community, if we didn't live in closed isolation but open our lives to one another and to those in our neighbourhoods. It is a challenge, isn't it? But I tell you what, it's one really, as I said before, worth pursuing. Bishop Ryle made an observation about the established church many years ago, and I think it's a real warning for us today. It says this, he says that the Western church has in many cases become something it was never meant to be. It's become an exclusive social club for good people who like to do religious stuff. It's become a safe house from a decaying and crumbling society that no longer understands. God wants us to open our hearts and our lives and our homes and our church, doesn't he, to others. And God's called you and me. He's called each one of us. It says in Romans 12 that we have many members in one body, but all the members don't have the same function. Verse 5, individually members of one another. Verse 6, having different gifts. You know, God gives us natural gifts, but he also gives us, doesn't he, spiritual gifts. And I believe in that charisma, in the gift of God that goes beyond the natural, that is supernatural. And God's really blessed this body here, hasn't he, with spiritual giftings. And we want to see this more and more, that in our lives, in each one of us, we know the gifting of God. The gifting of God upon you as you cry out, and on me. That's what we need, isn't it? That's where the power is to change a community, to change a life, is the giftedness and the presence of God. He can breathe on the natural, yes, but he also gives us great gifts, doesn't he, as well? And God sees us as individuals, individual personalities, callings. And C.S. Lewis said this. He said, "There are no ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. It's to immortals whom we yoke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. We matter to God, and we matter to one another." And I believe this is such a key for us going forward. God has formed us for relationship within the family. We're called to be believers, yes, but also belongers. What if, as a church, we had more small groups in which we could develop strong and meaningful relationships, where people begin to understand what it truly means to be part of the family of God, where people are not judged for their past, but celebrated for who they are now in Christ, where there's an opportunity for us to use our God-given abilities to help others in the name of Jesus, and where we come to the realization that we're all made for mission, but we're not all made the same. We don't all express ourselves the same way. I'm uniquely me, and you are uniquely you. But the same Jesus Christ chooses to reveal himself in us all. As a church, you know, we are one big family, aren't we? The family of God, with the same blood, those born by Jesus' blood. And as well as being a big family, we see the church here at Kingsway increasingly becoming somewhere where families do thrive. Where, I was saying before, you know, it's incredible, you know, going to prayer meeting, and it's almost as if the prayer meeting, I could have just bullet pointed what I was going to say this morning. Incredible the way people pray, the way prayer is just often, you know, it is just God speaking through people, isn't it? We hear from God. He speaks to us and we speak out what God has already revealed through prayer. It's incredible. And, you know, we believe that in increasingly becoming a place where families do thrive, where parents, carers have looked after children and adopted children, young people, students, children of all ages, parents, grandparents, as well as those who have no children themselves, are valued and able to contribute to the life of the body and the wider community. Family is God's idea. And we want to strengthen the resources within this church for equipping people to serve the body, helping people to have fulfilled and happy marriages, to be supported in bringing up their children, to be equipped to help the lonely and the vulnerable, and to serve one another. We're going to be blessed, but so is our community as well. We're called both to be salt and light. And the world's dark, but we're able to be its light to shine, so that people can see the good works and glorify God. Salt's great preservative, but it has to be applied to the meat to prevent decay, doesn't it? And so too we can be a great influence for good when we become involved in our community. I'm nearly finished. I hope you're getting a sense of what God can do. Imagine if. Imagine. If this... Well, it is possible, isn't it, in God? All things are possible. It's only possible, though, if each one of us gets a hold of these things and really sees the call of God in our lives. We're a body. Every member is so vital to this body. John Stott put it this way. He said, "The Christian habit is to bewail the world's deteriorating standards with an air of rather self-righteous dismay. We criticize its violence and dishonesty, disregard for human life and materialistic greed. The world's going down the drain, we say with a shrug. But whose fault is it? Who is to blame? Let me put it like this. If the house is dark when nightfall comes, there's no point in blaming the house. That's what happens when the sun goes down. The question to ask is, where's the light? Similarly, if meat goes bad and becomes inedible, there's no point in blaming the meat. That's what that happens when bacteria is left alone to breed. The question is, where's the salt? Just so, if society deteriorates and its standards decline, till it becomes like dark night or stinking fish. There's no sense in blaming society. That's what happens when fallen men and women are left to themselves, and human selfishness is unchecked. The question to ask is, where's the church? You know, we have such a challenge, don't we? We can't compromise our Christian distinctness. You know, we're called to be people of faith, and from that faith to do good works. We're not just do-gooders, are we? But we have faith that leads us to good and to do good. I read a proverb, Proverbs 14. It says, where no oxen are, the trough is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. You know, the dirty trough is a sign of much increase and of oxen at work, isn't it? And, you know, we're not here just to polish silver, are we? But to see broken lives restored and a community transformed. We've been given the Great Commission, as well as the Great Commandment and a great challenge. The Great Commandment to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. The Great Commission to therefore go and make disciples. And the challenge, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it for a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man gain in exchange for his soul? Bless God. Thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Rob. I just wanted to share some thoughts on the transition process and how it might apply to us as the family of God. Pauline, would you just put this screen down and put up that picture, please, that first slide? Oftentimes, when we hear the word transition, we think of something scary, like, I don't know, the transition from young to old and what that might have in store for us. But transition is effectively just a description of change. Change that is inevitable, change that happens whether we really want it or not, but something that we can embrace. You know, I heard one guy say one time, you know, change is inevitable, but progress is optional. And I'd like us to think that when we undergo transition and we say this question, who wants change, that we will embrace that and say, yes, I want change. But, you know, put the next slide up now, Pauline. This is what normally happens for the next question. Who wants to change? Everybody then sticks their hands down. Because the thing that I know about successful transition is this, that it's not one or two people that need to change. It's all of us that need to engage in a process of transition. And the Bible calls that going from one degree of glory to another. And I'm just as passionate and excited about you going from one degree of glory to another as I am about me and my family going from one degree of glory to another. So change is inevitable. Progress is optional. And I want to invite you to engage in that process of transition for progress. So what does transition mean as the family of God? Well, I believe that the key command, the key imperative that God has for us, if you like, the vision that he's got for us, is not something new. Actually, I believe it's something ancient, and that is to love God and to be loved by God and to reflect that love to one another and to this world. It is an ancient commandment. There is nothing new in the idea of love. It is as ancient as God is himself, because God is love. And I believe what we're called to do is to help people to progress from spiritual orphans, those that know nothing about God, those that know that they don't have a home in God, those that have never been introduced to our Heavenly Father, and to bring them into sonship, to help them to understand that they are valuable sons and daughters of the living God, just as you are valuable sons and daughters of the living God. But then in sonship, sometimes even as Christians, we can find ourselves like the prodigal son, the son who wandered afar, who went a long way from home, who was stuck in selfish independence, stubborn pride. And we find ourselves in that position as a prodigal, often wasting the things that God has invested on the inside of us. You know, I believe that every person here present, whether young, old, or somewhere in between, has been given a God-given DNA that reveals his plan and purpose and calling for your life. It's in there from birth. And I'm keen for us all to understand what that DNA is, how it's to be outworked in love one with another and in love to this world, so that we don't waste our spiritual heritage and inheritance like the prodigal son did. Or we may be like the elder son, who was dutifully obedient, but bitterly resentful, stuck in religion and religious practice, who resented the other son, the prodigal, coming home, and was unwilling to welcome home this undeserving beast, who identified with servants rather than with his own sonship, and was living at home, yet still far away from it. I believe that we're called to make sons. But ultimately, God wants to make us fathers as well. Spiritual fathers and mothers in him. People who know how to make sons. How to bring sons to glory. How to bring sons into relationship with our Heavenly Father. How to help people from move from hurt into healing, from hate into love. I believe that is as close to the Great Commission as we can get. Transition is also a process that takes time. If you're expecting things to change overnight, you'll be greatly disappointed. But God gave me a picture to illustrate transition, and it was of a caterpillar in a cocoon. There is a great deal of change going on in that cocoon that we never get to see until that butterfly breaks through that cocoon and emerges. And I believe that there is change taking place already in that cocoon, if you like, if that describes the church. Some of it is on a foundational level. Some of it behind the scenes, some strategic, some that you probably won't get to appreciate until the time that that butterfly is ready to break out and something new is visible and can be identified. But what will that be? Well, I want it to be, I cry out for it to be a deeper love and commitment to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. A carrying of God, which is a carrying of love to our community. The ability to be able to love not just those that love us, but our enemies, those that spitefully use us, those that hate us with a passion, that we would love them with more passion. Those that offend us, we would be willing to forgive. That we would just be able to release to them grace upon grace. That's what I hope and pray and believe that our transition will be. And that's what I want you guys to join us on. Because that's what I believe is at the heart of God and in the heart of the church. Amen.
Right, well, I know it's been a long meeting, and again, children, thank you for being so patient. If you have any complaints about that, please see Rob after this meeting. Rob and Jill, would you like to come out? Let's stand together, and would you like to stretch out your hands? Let's pray a blessing from the church now. We've had it from city leadership. We've had it from leadership here, and now from the whole church. We just pray, Lord Jesus, just thank you, Lord, from generation to generation. May your holy name be praised. And now, Lord, as we commit and commend, Lord, Liz, Lord, and Tino, and Jill, and Rob, Lord, may they be proven to be good, faithful shepherds. May they lead the flock, Lord. May they know well the condition of the flock and lead them into green pastures, Lord God, where many, many will be fed and nurtured. We commit them into your hands, our precious Savior, our Lord and our God. Amen.